What is up, everybody? My name is Austin Buckner.
Trevor Holder.
J.R. Hicks.
And we are back with J.R., who was on the first time, retired from fighting, so he's never doing it again. And then here you are, back in the fight game, about to fuck up a shit talker.
I'm so excited to see that after hearing the story. Oh, man.
It's been fun. I've really enjoyed that I get to throw elbows this time.
Yeah.
It's
not like you haven't been training MMA the whole time, right? Like,
yeah. The only difference is now, so Iowa AMI, you can't throw elbows to the face.
Interesting.
Professional, I can throw knees and elbows to the face. So,
have you had a professional MMA fight before?
No.
Is this your first one?
Yeah. So
sick.
I'm the only person that...
He's like, oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. I am smashing faces.
The only person that starts doing MMA, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go into other people's professions. And I went into boxing, and I went into kickboxing. And I was like, now I'm going to come back home. So
that's sick. Yeah, finally. I cannot wait. April 20th, Waterloo, Iowa, J.R. Hicks, and what was his name?
The loser?
Blake the Rowdy Kellogg, Rooster Kellogg.
The what?
His name's Rowdy Rooster.
Rowdy Rooster?
Yeah, which is
I hope you fucking kill him.
Yeah, I just get love saying I'm about to choke the chicken.
What's on some Mystic Mac shit. What are you wanting to happen? Are you hoping to knock him out? Or are you hoping to submit him?
Honestly, I plan to leg kick him so he can't walk out of there.
Oh, dude.
So
a leg kick submission is...
So I think realistically how it goes out is we're gonna start throwing down kind of quick just off of a jab and a cross, and I'm gonna instantly throw a right leg kick, and it's really gonna wreck his back leg. And I think probably two to five more kicks from there, he won't be able to walk, and then I'll probably just ground and pound him until he stops breathing.
Just Mark Coleman him.
I hope, except Mark Coleman lives out of that fire, fucking hero.
We're watching this fight.
We are watching this fight. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, April 20th, I have my kids, but then Amy is gone for a baby shower. So there you go.
Are we giving him another shirt?
Yeah. I got a shirt.
I feel like we have to.
I got a shirt for you.
Are you talking about the
new one?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes, that'd be perfect.
It says Greenfield Originals on it.
Nice, I'll walk out with it.
Sick.
I'll fuck it.
All right, we'll make it happen.
All right, fuck it. JR, thanks, man. No, thank you.
Yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Ice Cream Sunday Podcast. Weren't you going blind, motherfucker?
Still kind of am, but the blood's out of my eyes, so I have the vision I have.
I guess the important thing is, like, internal bleeding, as long as the blood's inside the body, there's no problem, right?
I suppose, but, like, last time you were here, you retired from mixed martial arts. You were like, I'm going blind, I don't want to go blind. So I can't fight no more. And now you're back.
Well, so I guess how it kind of worked out is after going to Iowa Retina for pretty much the last year and a half, they just kept giving me the shot in my eye, which sucks, by the way. It's just not fun to get needles.
Like directly into the eyeball?
Yeah, you just watch them and it's like a... three-inch needle that they just fuck shove all that.
Like, I don't have a problem with needles, but in my eyeballs, I do.
Yeah.
You ever play Dead Space?
No.
No.
So there's a moment in Dead Space 2 where you have to control a needle going into the dude's eye, and that's all I can think about.
I have seen... I think you sent me like a video of... Or maybe it was John West, but yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Dude, fuck all that all day.
But so they give me this shot... And it takes the blood out, I guess, in my eye. It stops the vein that was bleeding in there.
So they're not putting medication into the eye. They're like taking a needle and it's like a syringe and they're pulling the blood out?
No, so the medication shrinks the vessel. So then it can't keep bleeding more into my eye. And then allegedly it's supposed to pull the blood completely out by just over time. It, I guess, recycles out in a way. I don't know. Didn't really ask a ton of questions, but my eye is way better than it was, which sucks.
Can your
vision? You're having what I would consider a major medical procedure done, and you're just like, I don't ask questions. They just do it.
Can your vision get worse, or are they like, nah, go ahead, fight?
Yeah, no. So I was just actually talking to the eye doctor like a month before I accepted this fight was, and he's telling me, he's like, your eye's as good as it's gonna get. There's a little scar tissue, so you know, you're good. And as long as you keep getting these shots I get it now every 2 months.
Gotcha.
But allegedly this doctor just told me, he's like, it's as good as it's gonna get, and you got vision back in it. I mean, it's still not good, but it's
what about the possibility of it getting worse? Because it's as good as it's going to get is great, but I mean...
Yeah, so that's where, I mean, as I get so many checkups and pictures in my eyes now that if the blood started to come back, like I would see it instantly back, okay, you have to. And honestly, I'm hesitant on fighting. I got a couple I want to do that are just because I want to do it how I want to do it.
Sure.
And that's kind of how that's going to work out. But it's kind of just one of those things where, fuck, I forgot what I'm even saying again. Memory is shit. But
memory shit, and you still want to fight. Yeah. Still want to get hit in the head.
Maybe one more punch, two more punches, and it'll make a
maybe it'll bring it back. Maybe it'll bring the memory back.
Re-energize the brain.
Like, oh, fuck.
Wait, I don't like this.
I remember what oranges smell like all of a sudden.
So it's not even my right eye that the doctor's actually concerned about. It's the left eye. So my good eye is what he's scared about, because my right eye's fucked no matter what, pretty much. I mean, at the end of it. But my left is still a good eye. So if something would happen to that, it would really damper the situation. But I have had a ton of fights, never had an eye issue. Obviously, the fucking chance. Just watched last night, multiple eye pokes happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Watch your knee.
Oh, fuck. Good call.
Here. I'm just going to do this. Don't make it weird.
So, you know, eye pokes do happen, of course, but it's a low chance, and the risk is worth the reward for me at this point.
So when you retired, it was right before a fight that you had scheduled for bare knuckle.
Yes.
And I think the issue was you couldn't get cleared.
Yes.
With the frequent checkups that you're having every 2 months, are you able to get cleared for these next fights, or have you already been cleared for these next fights? Or
yeah, so I'm clear. Yeah, as long as there's no blood that returns back to it, then I don't have so much of an issue.
Gotcha.
The commission doesn't ask a ton of questions. I mean, it's they kind of know what's going on too. So yeah. that's one of those. Thing.
There's a lot of no questions asked going around. Man,
as someone who, so even though it's a scripted, predetermined sport, like I did pro wrestling, I had to deal with the athletic commission here in Iowa as a pro wrestler. They never show up to any of the fucking shows, but that's neither here nor there. They are not the most, like you talk about like the fighting capital of the world is Nevada, right? Nevada, yeah. Las Vegas. They are strict, right? Iowa should pretty much be non-existent. They are so ineffective at what they do. It's, you know, lawless.
It's the same way for fighting. Like, yeah. Nebraska, you gotta have medical exams. Minnesota, you gotta have, I think, a fucking brain scan, eye exam. Gotta have a whole bunch of shit up mm-hmm. there. I mean, but then Iowa, like, get some blood work, we're good.
Yeah. So, a couple questions that I was thinking of as we were talking. Totally random, but when you look out of a binocular, is it like blurry on one side and clear on one side, or?
So
do 3D glasses work for you?
No. Like, so if I was to only like use my right eye looking out of a binocular, it would be blurrier. Like I could picture it, like the picture on the wall that says "Our love is." I would be able to make out "Our love is," but it would have some blobs in it because that, and that's just scar tissue, which I can see everything still, so it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad compared to what it was, I guess. So I feel like I got new vision compared to what it was last time I even talked to
That's
you
That's awesome, though.
So you were doing, and I'm sure you still are, going to continue with the grappling, with the jiu-jitsu. Was that unfulfilling? Was it just not enough for you that you wanted to get back into MMA and
no.
just start?
Honestly, I love jits. And actually, I plan to be starting my own school for that in Greenfield, which I'm belting under Charles Heller at IMA in Des Moines. And I love it. It's super fun. This fight kind of just fell into it. This dude spoke some shit that he shouldn't have when me and my wife were in the NICU. I was trying to make my pro boxing debut against them. And then I think just being him being on a computer screen, and he said some shit along the lines of, I'm a piece of shit and that's why we're in the NICU.
Jesus.
And that we won't have a long stay, assuming that my daughter won't live. So at that point, I really wanted to fight him, but didn't fucking work out. Then he didn't sign the contract. So then when all this went down, I just kind of went silent. Started only focusing on the BJJ side. And then after I got cleared, I asked the guy that I've been grappling for a lot what the pro heavyweight was, because I was actually going to bring it up to Justin Shannon.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's Blake Kellogg. And I was like, oh, I'd really like to get that and see if. And then it just worked out. Like, he fucking forgot who I was, which, perfect. Also, the best.
Oh, no.
Y'all must have forgot.
Yeah. The best thing is now I can crush his actual face.
I was going to say.
that's what had me worried was,
dude knows who
no.
Dude remembers who you are now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, you know, we're going to find out. And that's kind of what really made me to the point that I was like, okay, I want to fight. But also doesn't help that I'm training 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I've been training 7 days a week for, well, since last time. So, you know, I'm around people getting ready for kickboxing. We just had a kickboxing event in Afton, which, pretty biased, but
dude, I heard that went unbelievable.
Yeah, the fights were just insane. Couldn't be more proud of the people at the gym, but everyone that competed there is just amazing. The crowd was into it. You know, it was a nice event, especially being from around there.
Yeah.
You don't see that, you know. That was an awesome thing. And then just getting people ready for fights, it's one thing I love. And it's like, I want this.
When is this fight and where is it?
It's 420.
Hell yeah.
And it's in Waterloo. It's, you know, it's...
North Iowa fights? Is that?
Yes, Northern Iowa fighting. So it should be on Subspectrum Sports also for a pay-per-view.
Hell yeah.
And the guy I'm fighting, he's Blake Kellogg. Respectfully, I don't think he's good.
What? why did he start talking shit in the first place?
Because so, and this is going to be a surprise to a lot of people. I was talking shit to him because he's telling me he wanted.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. So I was talking shit because he's telling me he wanted a box. I'm like, well, just sign the fucking contract then. Like, this is simple. I have my contract signed. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And he just kept talking shit to the promoters about how they're fucking them over, then trying to play this like he's not trying to play games and the promoters are the one. And
I love how he's standing on business, like straight up like, hey, I got the contract signed. I'm ready to go. And this dude just pussyfooting around the whole time.
Yeah. And but so come to find out, this is how this dude does things at. On the way is and kind of how it happened was then he started like I started talking more shit, then he started talking shit back to me, and then I really started going in, and all of a sudden I'm blocked, and it's like, oh, all right, cool.
Like, someone's feelings got
like I must be standing on truth, like you don't want to fucking fight me.
This just reminds me of DC and John Jones when they were on ESPN. Still there, pussy.
Which, by the way, John Jones won all three fights. So
he did. He did.
Don't care what the commission said.
He whooped that man's ass.
Slept him too, which was...
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I like DC. I just hate that like he can't accept the John Jones fights.
Yeah.
Fucking bugs me.
Yeah.
But
So I wanted to bring up... Going back to jiu-jitsu, right? So you come on the podcast.
Yep.
We give you a shirt.
Yes.
Okay? You do jiu-jitsu. The first fight after your appearance on our show, you come out wearing Podzilla, our shirt, right? And then you get tapped in like 20 seconds.
But you actually gave me 4 extra seconds. So.
But then after that loss, you go on a crazy win streak. So my question is, are we bad luck?
No. So... And this is a crazy situation, I guess. I had not a crazy situation. It's an awesome experience. And oddly, for getting beat in 16 seconds is one of the most memorable times of my entire life. But I got so caught up in the moment of that I was walking down the cage with my daughter.
Yeah.
That I never could pull it back in. So, like, when I went in there, I just wanted to be exciting. I wanted to bring it to him. So, like, one thing, I went right into crotch sniffing. Yeah. You don't see me shoot double legs ever, and all of a sudden I'm shooting because I'm trying to be exciting.
Yeah.
And I just paid the price, and especially against someone like him, I told you he's really good.
Yeah.
And he snatched my neck up, and... I never got into the focus side of it, which I didn't have my coach there, which wasn't a huge deal. I thought I was good. So then I was like, man, it'll be all right. You know, I don't need him. It's just grappling. It's another day. It'll be good. I didn't expect the emotions to hit me how they did. I was like, whoa, this is the most powerful moment in my life.
Yeah.
Then I got my ass whooped in front of my kid, and I was like, holy shit. Well, now my kid knows I'm not Superman. Fuck. I'm not Kent Clark. Look,
we tuned in.
I don't remember why you were at my house, but we watched, like, we bought the pay-per-view. We watched, and I was like...
Was this song for the kids?
I don't know what it was for. Maybe a... When was that fight?
Well, first of all, it's a grapple.
Sorry. So when was that?
It's
when
okay.
Was
that grapple? It's a big thing in the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah.
They always call it fights. I'm like, look, bro, you're not fighting 10 times in a day.
Right.
I've grappled 10 times in a day.
Like, right.
And, you know, but I honestly don't even know.
It was sometime like late last year.
Yeah.
November, maybe?
That's what I was thinking. It was November.
That would make sense.
Was it around like Thanksgiving?
I don't think it was Thanksgiving, though.
Because you were there for Thanksgiving, but it wasn't on Thanksgiving. I don't remember. For some reason, you were in my house. We watched it together.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, man, he's got his
dog. So he was struggling trying to get it pulled up because he always struggles with pulling stuff up. And finally, we get it going. It's streaming. We're watching. You come out with your daughter. Mm-hmm. We see the ice cream sundae t-shirt. We're like, yo, let's go. We made it. And we were just commenting on your walkout, like, yo, this is going to be great. This is going to be exciting. This is awesome. We love that you came out with your daughter. And then you got your ass kicked. And we're like, this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't fucking blame you. Just represent my shit, and you just worked fucking terrible. So, and the worst part, so like during the walkout, I remember there was a moment I was walking down, it was like third, fourth step, and I literally started crying. And I was like,
yeah.
It's like, I'm on fucking camera right now. I gotta hide this. And I like tried kissing my daughter to cover it up so my face isn't.
Can we make a shirt for him that says, I lost a grapple and all I got was this lousy t-shirt and just ice cream sundae?
I just remember like talking, like we saw you, you're walking down the aisle, you're with your daughter. We see the art, like our t-shirt, like the black and the orange. And I was like, hey, maybe we should start like sponsoring athletes. And then you got beat. And I was like,
Maybe we should not.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back to, you alluded to it. You're starting your own gym. You're starting your own business in Greenfield. How did that come to be?
It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. From beginning of me starting MMA, I wanted to create my own gym, but bring it right back to my hometown. I thought Jesse Lundwood or Josh Christensen, both badass dudes, and I thought they had the following to do it. Didn't. So thought that was obviously what I should do. And I seen you actually posted a nice comment talking about a 2,200 square foot place that would, what would Greenfield do with it? And there's quite a few different people commented on it and noticed multiple people did say gym. And so that was kind of like, maybe I should look into this. Thinking at the time, like, I'm not really ready for this financially. I mean, I went to school for it. So, you know, I went to school for exercise science and this is probably what I should have been doing already, but my dumbass likes the hard path. Yeah. So then I messaged you and you got me in touch with the right people. And after talking with them, the space was kind of a perfect place to, you know, be able to set up on one side to have some grappling and BJJ. And on the other side, I could run my fitness classes and group class exercises.
Yeah.
And still have a place for kids to be watched as their parents are doing classes. Because that's a huge issue with people at times. And or if you're doing jits, you need someone to be able to watch after your kids. And, you know, we have a space for that now. It's like, hey, this is kind of better than it was. And it's like, oh, the price. And then we started talking about the price to rent. I'm like, oh, that's about half the price I was thinking you were going to say. So maybe this is like the sign. And I was talking with wife. It's like, you know, it's going to be hard because it's another income we're going to have to make. But, you know, this is an opportunity. And obviously, it was presented out there. You put it out there for a reason. You know, I've seen it, you know, it was one of those things is like, this is all coming for a reason, which I've at that point been going to Des Moines to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Charles. And it was like, okay, this is it. Because I don't want to take business away from Josh. You know, HMA is my home. That's always forever my home. And I was like, okay, I gotta see how he feels about it. I don't want, you know, make him feel like he's walking on eggshells, or, you know, I want to talk to Coach Heller about it and then talk to them. And they're both actually really excited. I was like, this is weird, you know, because you think of business and you think of you're stepping onto the territory.
Sure.
And most businesses be pissed. I mean, look at Casey's and Quickstar right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then it kind of just all started working out. And now we've gotten to the point where I have a person we're going to be able to belt. I was able to think of a way I could stay away from HMA's business, which is MMA and that side of things. And I just want to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is grappling, which I also think will be great for kids to be able to do. And yeah. I can start a kids program. And that way I can be in what I want to do, but also, you know, still, if someone comes to me and is like, hey, I want to fight. Well, that's great. HMA is 24 miles away.
Yep.
You should go there. I highly suggest them. I'll be there on Thursday. Cool. You know, so it just kind of worked out. And then after talking to everyone and having everyone's support, it's just like, okay, I have to do this. I mean, it's going to create some crazy work hours because I can't just dive off the deep end and just be like, okay, I'm going, you know, burn the boats. We're going to open this business and that's all I'm doing. You know, I have to keep my full-time job until we build, build the future.
No, that makes perfect sense. And like you said, I posted something about like, hey, if there were, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, this square footage, what kind of business would you guys want to see? A lot of people said gym. And then, you know, a lot of people are like, do you mean the bowling alley? And the thing is, when I started on the board of directors for the Warren Cultural Center, that was one of the things. They're like, hey, we opened our doors in 2012. We have this unused basement space. Thaddeus wanted to do like concerts down there, but their goal was to have that revolving income of someone leasing that space.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does anyone have any idea that like, does the community, the public know that this space is available? And then like you don't see any of them post about it. You don't see it on the Warren Cultural Center, like social media stuff. Yeah. So I was like, screw it. I'll post it. And then, I was like, the worst they're going to do is say no.
Yeah.
You know,
not making money on it already.
So I was like, screw it. Like, here's the contact information. If you're serious about it, mention it to them. And then I admittedly had completely forgotten that you and I had talked about this. Yeah. So then at the next meeting, they're like, hey, we have someone interested in leasing this, you know, the basement. And I'm like, edge of my seat. I'm like, oh my God, who is it? And they're like, it's J.R. Hicks. And I was like, oh yeah, fucking duh. that's me. That's my fault.
I got him.
Yeah. So then they're asking me, they're like, do you think he'll be, you know, reputable? And do you think he'll like, you know, he'll do a good business? And I was like, every conversation that he and I have had about it, like he seems very serious about this. And they obviously, I mean, they're an older crowd. They don't watch fights. They don't follow the local scene at all.
Yeah.
If they watch UFC, they certainly don't watch like the local stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you have to understand like Josh Christensen and you, Mike Graham, Justin Shannon, Jesse Lund, there is a history of really good combat sports athletes from this area. So to bring a gym to Greenfield to continue to foster those sort of athletes, like, hell yeah, man. I was all for it.
Well, and I mean, it kind of seems like Greenfield, we have a wrestling coach that's really invested into his athletes.
Yeah, man.
Really. And this is another addition. If you watch college wrestling, there's more leg riding. There's more rolls than everybody. It looks like a jiu-jitsu match almost. Yeah. But also, that goes vice versa. You watch a jiu-jitsu match, there's heavier wrestling than ever before too. So it's one of those things. It's like, this is an opportunity that, you know, for kids to do something that, one, helps them in self-defense. Two, it teaches you how to handle stress and be able to think under a stressful situation. Three, it gives you confidence because you understand walking down the street, not that you need to go fuck that person up, but if that person comes and tries you, you can defend yourself Exactly. Confidently.
Exactly.
You know, so it lets you be you. You know, like, I think that's where I almost really started just being free was once I realized I could defend myself. It's like, I don't care. I have a speech impediment. I don't care. I was in special ed classes. Like, it doesn't define me as a human. I'm this dude. Like, I like combat. I like training. I like competing. That's
like one-on-one combat sports, like the way that I see it, and I think we might have talked about this the last time you were on too, is like if you're part of like a football team, right?
Yeah.
You can blame 10 other guys.
Yeah.
You know? But you fuck up in the ring or in the cage or on the mat, that's you.
Yeah.
And like, but if you succeed, it's the highest of highs.
It's you, yeah.
But if you fail, it's the lowest of lows. And those peaks and valleys are unlike anything else in combat sports because it's not just a game either. Like, either you beat someone's ass or you got your ass beat.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's real, like, life damaging
yes.
consequences at times. And yeah, I agree. It's, and there's so much that goes into it. It's like the, well, just from last time we talked, getting ready for it. A competition in Iowa City. My dumbass never has issue cutting weights. Well, I just made a couple of excuses of why I was going to be a little bit slower. And then all of a sudden I get to the night before the competition and I got 13 fucking pounds to cut.
Jesus Christ.
So one, anyone that knows me, I will talk so much shit if you miss weights. And I have my whole life. And is one of those, and plus I'm helping coach at Henry's, so
yep.
I mean, I'm not gonna tell these people that they can't miss weight and then miss weight, like
yep.
that's
yep.
lose,
you lead know, by example.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I have teammates going there that are competing in the same tournament as me, and so I made the weight, and then not thinking about how my body was affected about it. Right after I go weigh in, I go and get some food, just some hash browns and pancakes and bacon. And then I go, I have to grapple right away.
Yeah.
And
not the best things to, yeah, first, to refuel.
Yeah. First match, I dominated, got in, kind of got out like 2 or 3 minute win. And then the next match, I was in a great position. I was controlling for like first 5 minutes, and all of a sudden coach just is like, you just got this look in your eye that you just got ghost white. And then I ended up tapping out, and as soon as I tapped out, I just had to run to the bathroom and just
yeah.
threw up like 6 times. And
so let's talk about that, because we didn't talk about that the last time, that not only the physical toll but the mental emotional toll. You're cutting 13 pounds in what, like 13 hours,
roughly? Yeah,
yeah. That's insane. What's the process that goes into that? What physically do you have to do to cut that weight? And then what's the toll that it takes on you?
So physically, like how you kind of get, I prep for it. So like I'm water loading all the way up until, so I'm drinking probably 2 gallons of water a day. Also have to make up extra water. So if I drink a lot of caffeine in the day, then mm-hmm. I have to probably have 3 because it's very dehydrating.
Sure.
And I want a bunch of water in my body. So that way when I start to cut, I'm cutting the water. I'm not cutting muscle, or I'm not cutting anything too much. I'm mostly yep. cutting water, because 80% of your body is made up, or 80% of your muscle is made up of water. As in fat, it's not the same situation. So it's good to have a high muscle mass there. And then once I drink those 3 gallons of water, then once I get closer, like fight week, then I cut down to 2 on Monday. And this is saying I'm weighing in on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. So I cut down to, you know, 2 on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I would probably go to having 1 gallon of water, because 1 gallon's about 8 pounds. So, you know, you're putting out at least 8 pounds of fluid in you that you're probably going to restore. Because also at this whole time, I run what's called the Harrison-Bandick formula. And instead of the body mass index, or not, yeah, body mass, I use lean muscle mass, so that way I'm only fueling what I need to keep my body doing the typical stuff, like
sure.
natural and voluntary movements, like breathing, keeping your temp, you know, the stuff, so I stay living. And then I figure out what that is, and whatever that number is, it'll be in kcals. Then you divide it by 24 because it's 24 hours in a day.
Sure.
And then I would figure out every 3 hours, because you need to eat every 3 hours to keep your body from going into like a panic mode. Mm-hmm. And because once it goes into panic, it starts releasing cortisol, which then releases stress in your body. And then the stress starts making you maintain and contain things. And that's the water it's retaining. And it's not going to be burning the same amount of calories. So you want your body burning like a smooth machine the whole time. And then once you kind of figure that out on what your base rate is, then you're going to eat that many calories, because your body, as long as you're eating it every 3 hours, won't go into panic. And the key is to keep yourself from going into panic mode, or your body into that starvation mode. Mm-hmm. until you make the weight, because once you do, that's really hard to make weight, which is kind of why you see people get like a pound away and then they can't lose the pound. Well, it's because the body is in fear. It's not going to get anything. It holds on to everything it possibly can and refuses to let go.
Sure, sure.
And so then, and once I know I'm running that Harrison Benedict formula, then after that, I start cutting the water down on Wednesday. And then Wednesday, if I weigh in on Friday, I would start cutting out all salt. So, it's crazy some of the things salt's in, like even the chicken you buy at Fairway, it has salt. It's, it's so you got to boil your chicken, which it's not the best. It just tastes like shit.
Yeah.
But then you're just slowly, cutting what you need out. I also run this supplement, this natural leaf called Usaversi, and it helps, it's a diuretic, so it helps keeping you pee, because that's going to be your best way you lose weight.
Yep.
And then, you know, that's your body is prepped so you can cut weight. And then you're in the sauna, bounce back and forth. Like I'll be in sauna for 40 minutes and then I'll go out, do a light drilling or pad workout, and then I'll be back in the sauna for 30, and then kind of going back and forth, and just then keeping in the sauna, riding the bike. And I mean, it takes 3-4 hours, I guess, and it sucks. And by the end, I mean, you hate everyone. You hate everything. You know, you don't care about anything, really.
Yeah. You're just trying to take off as much like water weight as possible. Yeah. So you're basically just either peeing it out or sweating it out.
Yes. And that's how you kind of go about it. And then you get to your weight and you just suffer for whatever that half day or whatever it is. The thing I try to do is make sure I can keep eating. So that way, because once you kind of lose, when you go hungry, you lose discipline in your mind.
Yep.
You know, everyone starts that diet and it's like, oh, I'm gonna be so healthy. And then they didn't get to eat for 6 hours and they're like, I don't give a fuck. Give me that Snickers. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm guilty of it. You know, everyone is.
So once you make weight, obviously, like you said, hash browns, pancakes, probably not the best thing to refuel. What are some of the best things to refuel your body to get some of those, I don't know, calories or what? Like, what are you using to refuel your between weigh-in and the fight the next day?
So usually you do want carb. I mean, you want some carbs in you, but you want to get your vitamins back in you because you're super depleted of that.
Sure,
I like to have an amino acids drink and then slowly start drinking a electrolyte drink, but you have to sip because your body is also running on a weird, like, slowed down, like, trying to preserve itself in a way, and it knows it's gone through something harsh. So if you just smash everything super fast, then your body just bloats and it kind of, like, locks up in a way. Like, it crashes. So you kind of got to control yourself and eat, you know, the hash browns wouldn't have been so bad, or the bacon wouldn't have been so bad if I would have ate it slow and didn't eat a huge serving of it, then gave my time, my body process. So like, as soon as I get done, as soon as I weigh in, I will have an amino acids drink, an electrolyte drink, and then a smoothie.
Okay.
And then that smoothie will also have, you know, some dip, like my collagen in it, and then we'll have some vegetable in it, and it will just be to start getting the vitamins back in me, but I can slowly start sipping it. Then I'll wait about 20 minutes, and then I'm going to go towards like a protein, and then I'm going to, you know, I want a carb that's like a sweet potato or something like that in that area. So, but just not eating everything in sight right off the bat.
Right, right. It's letting your body reacclimate.
Recalibrate. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm okay. I'm going to be good.
And see, I don't think a lot of people understand how much science and math goes into that. Like, what you just explained is an amount of dedication and an amount of just pre-planning to be able to pull off. So people think, oh yeah, I can be a fighter, or I can do this, and they expect, oh, I just need to eat a lot, work out, and then that's it. Like me, I could never do that. Like, I love food too much. I can't see myself like pacing myself in that way to have certain foods, to block out certain foods.
So I'm guilty as shit of just loving food as well. And like, I used to be really big about like, you can't have a Snickers, you can't have this, and you need to moderate it. You need to, because if you deny yourself, then when you finally get it, you binge, and you binge heavy. But you, like, I start eating that way because I notice how I feel during practice. I know how I feel during the day. You know, I understand that this is how I'm going to get the best performance. And you start finding things you like, that you specifically like, that can make it to your diet, you know, but it takes time. And I don't know if everyone goes into as much detail as diet as I do, I guess. But when your body keeps shutting down on you and you keep having issues, well, I was trying to find every single possible avenue what it was. And I knew it couldn't be my coaches. I knew it couldn't be my training partners' faults, because all my training partners were fucking winning titles. And, you know, like pulling multiple titles. People are out there getting pro wins. They're fucking winning on the biggest stage. I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense, you know? Like, it has to be my diet. So then I started changing my diet, and I really researched into it. And I bought a program under George Lockhart and Ryan Leaf, and it taught me about the hormonal responses of your body and just how you can kind of cheat the system, but also, I guess it's not going to cheat the system, but it's like when you need to eat and why you need to eat it. And then I started understanding, okay, well, this is when I can have this type of a food. Like, I fucking love ice cream. Well, I get 15 minutes after practice that I can have whatever the fuck I want, as long as I have a little bit of caffeine, because that's going to spike my S1 and S3 receptors, and I'm going to be able to burn more carbs. I'm going to be burning sugar faster. I'm going to be burning everything through the process. So it's not necessarily terrible for your body.
Sure.
So I had to find a way how to be a fat kid, but a smarter fat kid.
So have you ever heard of affogato, which is like,
I'm not.
It's like a scoop of ice cream with a shot of espresso. That's the whole idea behind it. Is like, yeah, you get your sweet, but there's a caffeine with it.
But so, no. Yeah. Huh.
Yep.
It's and caffeine's the most like controversial thing of all time, which I'm learning that I can't have. So like, if I'm going to have a hard sparring day, like you can tell I'm not going to do shit today. Besides, I'm going to go do a lift after this. Yep. I'm probably going to do a bag workout just because I want to leg kick the living piss out of this dude that I've just been geeking on it. And plus, I've been loving Alex Pereira a lot lately. I'm just, man.
Oh, the fucking man.
Man, I just want to be able to throw leg kicks like that. There's just no toe. It's just so beautiful. It's just like, wop. And it's like, man,
his calf kicks are so
nasty. And, you know, so it's one of those things. I love leg kicking people. So it's probably because I'm unflexible, can't head kick shit.
Yeah.
But, except Josh Henry. I can head kick the midget. So, but actually, funny story about that guy is he's one of the hardest motherfuckers to head kick possible. And one day in practice, I told him I was going to head kick him. And I tried so fucking hard to kick that dude. At one point, he like shot down. And I had his head stuffed. And I tried kicking him like Charlie Brown. And
fucking. Soccer kicks him?
Yeah. And he still fucking dodged it. Somehow I'm like, you son of a bitch. But still. Yeah. But I guess you have to know how to defend head kicks being 4'8" or 9", whatever he is.
Josh Henry's the fucking man.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's.
So this fight that's coming up on April 20th, obviously very personal. You said that there were some other fights that you wanted to have. Is there other opponents that you're like, I want to fuck them up? Or is it just like, I just want to test myself against them? Like what these other opponents that you have in mind for future fights?
No. So yeah, like this one is personal. And honestly, I don't know if I've ever had a more personal fight, which I'm trying to take the approach. At the end of the day, it's still business.
Sure.
I don't want to come in there feeling any type of emotion that it's just going to be another day in there. And it's probably going to be hopefully his last day.
If that's not the most terrifying thing.
But the other people, I just, there's a couple, like, I want to fight closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to challenge myself. I'm not going to say I'm for sure out because I thought it was for sure going to be done last time we talked. And here we are, you know? Yeah. And so I know I want to fight one time closer to home. Because, fuck, I love fighting in front of my people. Again, back to Afton. And the fight night, Spencer Ray was fighting. And that crowd was erupting Spencer Ray. And, like, I was nervous for him. Like, dude, I could not fucking imagine having, like, fighting's the only sport to me that home field advantage sucks. Like, you can't win at home. And it's so hard to fight there, but like, it'd be such a cool, I mean, it's such a cool feeling that he had to have to hear him just yell, Spencer, you know,
that's awesome.
Everyone.
But at the same time, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier. It's like, hey, you have like all of your friends and family here cheering you on, but also like if you lose, you just got your ass kicked in front of all of your friends and family.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a soccer match where it's like, we gave up one less goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, I got punched and kicked and sometimes
I got brain damage in front of all of my closest friends.
Yeah, especially Spencer Ray. That dude thinks his face is his defense. I don't get it. But I'll tell you guys, from the first time I ever seen that dude fight, I was like, dude, I hope I'm as tough as that dude one day. He's a fucking warrior. So, dude,
I got so obviously I've never done like jiu-jitsu or I've never, you know, been in a fight like that. But I remember my senior year, it was like right before we graduated, maybe like 3 weeks before graduation. And because I was flirting with a girl that I should not have been, I got in a fight with Josh Najak. And Josh Najak was like training boxing at the time.
Yeah.
And I broke my thumb on his face. And I was like, oh, this dude is just, it's different. This is, yeah. No offense to Jack Stamper, but it's a little bit bit different than fighting Jack Stamper my freshman year.
Dude, it's hard to believe.
Josh Dondrak beat the shit out of me. What's up, Sabrina? It's all your fault.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be, yeah, April 20th is definitely going to be personal. But after that, yeah, I want to fight at home. But my main focus is honestly at the gym.
Yeah. Dude, it's like we talked about, though, like fighting closer to home. You have this gym in the basement of an opera house that was built in 1896.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Just the auditorium would just be the most beautiful place to host like a jiu-jitsu tournament or fights. It would be awesome.
I wonder about fights because, I mean, seating would be kind of
limited. Yeah. Especially if you have like a big 25-30 foot cage in there or something like that.
Jiu-jitsu would be perfect. Great. And that's my main focus. Is
the cool thing about jiu-jitsu is like, and I can't remember what tournament. It's here in Des Moines, but it's pretty big. And some of the
Subspectrum,
yes. And some of the like the finals, they're actually up on the stage.
Yeah.
So you could even put 200.
Des Moines.
Yeah, you could even put like 200 seats in there and then all of the fights be up on the stage.
The owner of that.
All the grapples up on the stage.
The owner of that tournament, which I admire the shit out of that dude. He at one point was sleeping in a garage with his mats as his bed because
that's insane. Like,
he just wanted to make jiu-jitsu his thing.
That's awesome.
Jordan, one day, we were working off a backpack position, and in a 3-minute round, he back triangled me 5 fucking times. And this dude's 145, 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Can't fucking believe it. But dude's a stud. And to see how his tournament has grown into, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, that would kind of be the goal, is to start having a tournament there in Greenfield and have our local kids compete, but also have Des Moines and Iowa City and Omaha. And
that'd be awesome. It's the perfect like geographical location for, you know, Omaha, Council Bluffs, Des Moines, maybe even Kansas City, Minneapolis. It's all just perfectly
within driving distance. Yeah. So
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your gym. When are you hoping to open?
So I'm looking to open the first weekend of June.
Okay.
And I want to start classes. On that Monday. So nice. I kind of,
it's like a big grand opening that weekend.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking
people
like run
use
some
the space.
Yeah, run some classes, let some people kind of see what we're thinking about doing, you know, because I don't want people to just think it's going to be jiu-jitsu. I don't want people to think it's just going to be workouts, you know. So I want them to know, you know, be able to see that we're have diet plans offered. We're going to have programs for people, you know, and
it's a full gym.
Yeah, it's gonna be and it's gonna be, you know, instead of like the fitness center where you have to go in there do it yourself. Well, I'm gonna be running every class.
Yep.
And thank God I've was a strength and conditioning coach at Graceland for a few years, and you know, like I said, 7 years of school to, you know, work people up pretty much.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that basis. And then on the Brazilian jiu-jitsu side, I will have to keep going up to Des Moines to keep belting so I can belt people myself. But that way, you know, people can see their work and understand that there's a difference between a white belt and a blue belt. And, and then, you know, kids will understand that, you know, there's this opportunity to, you know, do something in Greenfield.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. And instead we could be working out. You can teach kids the self-confidence side of things and, you know, one, how to just be teammates and give that sense too.
To your point, that's something that we've talked about with our live event all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We grow up in Greenfield, you grow up in Greenfield, and we hear there's nothing to do, right? Yeah. So here's a guy that grew up in Greenfield, coming back, starting a business, giving some you know, people something to do. We're trying to do that even for just one night with our event,
yeah.
Do something to do. If you, and this isn't like to point fingers and be like, you got to come to our
but
event,
it is.
Or you got to go to JR's gym, but it's like, the things are there, right? There's a yep. night yep. of entertainment. There's a gym. You talk about things to do. And then if you don't do them, well, now that's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and again, not to like point fingers and be like, you got to be at our event on June 22nd. You got to be at, you know, JR's gym when it opens in June. But it's like, the things are there. And I said this St. Patty's Day, right? There was a Warren Cultural Center event. There was karaoke at the bowling alley. I think the Irish bar in town, whatever the fuck that's called.
Yeah.
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines, yeah. So like it had something going on, the bar in Fontenelle that my cousins run, the Zimmerlines, like it had something going on, had live music. So it's like, here's four or five different events on the same holiday. If you complain that there's nothing to do, now it's on you.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? You're not looking for
it. Yeah. Yeah. You're purposefully like, all you want to do is complain. You don't actually want to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, that's how it's always been in Greenfield.
It is. And, you know, that's also, I mean, the only thing I guess we had kind of similar would have been Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And, but Keith is, I mean, older. He's, I don't know how
old. Keith is 112 years old now. So
I was going to guess 120. But, you
know, he's the fucking man.
He is.
Yeah.
And
I love him so much.
But, you know, it's one of those, there's nothing besides school events. And it calms you down. You know, it teaches you to think when you're stressed out. It teaches you that you can't just get upset and just Hulk out or freak out. And it also then gives you the benefits of exercise too. You feel good because you're getting all them endorphin release. And you know, it's kind of one of those things that you're gaining so much from it. You know, it's other than when you just don't go.
Yeah.
And I noticed when I'm missing class a little bit, or, you know, then all of a sudden I'm a little bit more irritated, and it's because it's such a good outlet that life's real, not that serious when you think about it. And when you get to, you know, take all your irritation out on that day and you got to focus hard on something, it helps, you know. I mean, it's like Cameron Haynes shooting his bow, you know, it's different thing, but you're so focused and locked in on your bow that the rest of the world doesn't matter. And it's nice to get away from the shithole every once in a while.
I wanted to ask you, for those that might be watching this or listening to this, this is going to come out just before your fight, but a couple months or a month and a half before you open the gym. Yep. If people want to follow along with that progress or get in touch with you to set up classes and to join your gym, how would they do that?
So one, you can email me at jokerfitnessfactory@gmail.com, or is that what Gmail is?
Yeah. Gmail.com.
Yeah. I never email myself. Or you can follow me on Snapchat. I believe it's WeTheFuture185, and my Facebook page is going to be kind of the best thing. I'm working on getting a page set up for the gym just so it's specifically for that. I just want to, before I get it all out there, that I have it all set up so that way people can see class times, cost, everything like that. I know roughly right now it's going to be Monday through Friday. It would be from about 4 p.m. till about 8:30 p.m. every night. And then Saturday mornings, we're going to be going from like 6 a.m. till probably 2-3 p.m. in the afternoon. So that way people can still have their family times. Yep. I'm trying to offer enough classes so that way, you know, kids, well, just kind of how it should be is if you have to miss a class because a kid has a soccer game, then cool. You know, go enjoy your game. You know, not trying to take away from other sports. I promote every sport.
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of those things that I want them to be able to keep growing with the class then. And it's looking like right now we're going to be in gi classes for kids 2 times a week, no gi 2 times a week. And then for adults, it'll be gi 2 times a week and no gi 2 times a week, which in the beginning, everyone won't have a gi, but we're kind of, once we get started, we're going to have people, I'll have someone that will be ordering gis and then we'll get everyone in there. So it's not going to be like, oh, you don't have a gi, you can't come in here right off the bat. But that's the traditional way of American jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Hate Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We're just better than them. Like the best to ever do it. I mean, I like the Gracies, a ton of respect, but I mean, it's Gordon Ryan. There's zero doubt. You can't argue it. And that comes right here in the homeland. So,
so how do you...
God's country.
God's country, yes.
So you've obviously put a lot of thought into it with the respect to other businesses, other fighters and trainers. You put a lot of thought into how you're going to operate the gym, right? Have you given too much thought into what the aesthetic of the gym is going to be like?
What do you mean?
Just like how it's going to look.
Huge words there, you know. Fucking small guy who get punched in the face. I forgot what that word meant. So, as I guess you've probably been downstairs in the opera house. So, there's two sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
On the left side where kind of the window where all those kind of band stickers are, I'm going to stick about 36 feet of mat on that side. And we're gonna, so since it's a historical building, you can't hang anything.
I was gonna ask about that because Nancy told me that you might be building to go up like mats on the side.
Gonna have to build mats on the side, mostly because it's brick wall. Mm-hmm. And if we're beginning from like a neutral position and what would be for wrestling or just to standing up, sometimes you get going so hard.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning, we're going to be able to work around it because nice thing is we're not going to have to work on wrestling right off the bat. We're going to work on positioning and drilling. And then, you know, we're going to work around it so we have the time to build these frames. So, yeah, essentially everyone's head is protected from smashing into concrete.
Yep.
And then on the other, I think there's like 12 more feet left. On that side, we're going to put probably a play area for kids.
Okay.
Have a TV up there, probably playing Miss Rachel.
Hell yeah.
What about Bluey?
Oh, my kids haven't gotten to Bluey yet, so.
I love Bluey.
You need to get into
Bluey. Yeah, I was going to say, Bluey's more for the adults, to be honest with you, man.
You know what? Maybe I need to watch Bluey. Bluey's so good. But yeah, so we'll have like a little play place back there. And then on the other side, I plan to have a squat rack, a bench, a ton of kettlebells, bunch of bands. And then I'll be running those
fitness classes.
Those classes through that. And then also though, if I'm running a kid's jits class and say you get off work and you just want to go work out for an hour. Okay, cool. Go on the other side. Just, you know, we're teaching class over here. Don't be playing, you know, craziest crap. But yeah, so that's kind of it because also on the weightlifting side, it will have the bathrooms will be on that side.
Yep.
And then I'm going to have a place for, you know, people be able to grab water, of course, or I'm talking right now with Jocko's protein company, trying to get associated with them. They're more expensive, but I love his message. And everything he does is kept right here in America.
Yeah.
So, you know, I I really support that. Also, a lot of his funds go to soldiers and, you know, military stuff. So
Jocko's the man.
Yeah, exactly. That's to me, he's not a businessman. He's really just trying to make this world a better place.
Have you thought about adding some type of like meal prep for the gym as well?
Yes. So, and that's, I'm trying to talk my wife actually into where she'll cook all the meals. Since she's a stay-at-home mom and they don't do anything during the day.
That's another fight he's going to lose.
So 1 hour, 1 minute, 49 seconds. Cut that part out.
And so...
there is a full kitchen space back there too.
Really?
You didn't know that?
No.
They didn't show you that?
No.
Yeah, so there's those two parts and then on the... when you walk in, it would be the right side. Where you would have like the bathrooms. So if you go all the way back, there's a big kitchen space back there, like a commercial kitchen space.
So
I don't think all of the equipment's there, but the space is there. And the range hood is there. And all the exhaust and stuff. It's already there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, there you go. This is already coming into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're going to full-time meal prep, quit the job. No. So I do want to do meal prep stuff and, I'm going to want to do a lot of diets. Mm-hmm. I mean, diet planning, if possible. So a little bit before this, I guess I worked at the YMCA in Creston, ran a boot camp out there, and I think the highest number of people they had at that time was 63 people to sign up for it. By the time I ended up getting done with it, we had 115. And out of those people who all showed up 80% of the time or more, they all had an average weight loss of 20 pounds or more.
That's awesome.
So it's one of those, you know, and it's awesome because you got the gym family feeling of working out too, you know, you had really fit athletes in there, and then you had people that were 300 pounds in there that were really struggling, but then you would catch the most fit people and they're really trying to help. Yeah, and then you would see them bonding together after class, talking about, you know, making plans. And then you get that family feeling and it's like, oh, this is exactly how the weight room should be, you know? Cause a lot of times I think people that just begin lifting or working out, they're so afraid of being laughed at or made fun of. And then people are watching them, and I don't think maybe they're necessarily watching them as to critique them as, hey, maybe I can help this person, you know, but it's hard, you know, it gets an uncomfortable feeling, but you know, this way I can be a part of helping people learn how to exercise and also be giving, you know, that family feeling of, you know, we're growing together. It's not about being better than this person or that person. It's about being better than you were yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's going to be the motto instead of, you know, we're trying to get a ton of weight up or whatever it is. It's just, we're going to set goals and then we're going to go get those goals. And then, you know, we're going to be held accountable. If, say you come in and you want to lose 30 pounds and then we go through a workout plan and we go through a diet plan, and then, you know, 5 weeks through you're not going down weight, and then we talk about, hey, how was your diet? And then we talk, it's not gonna be like, oh, you suck and you ain't gonna ever get this. We're gonna figure it out. Like, okay, so how are we gonna make the small adjustment this week? So maybe we can start making the step forward, you know, and we're gonna just keep adjusting until we finally get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's always the scary thing, is just being so judged and a place that you feel like people are watching you, I guess, instead of, you know, being in a place where, you know, the person, you know, is just doing their workout, but they want you to be successful also.
Yeah.
Which will be
important. Just assume, like I said, I've never joined a martial arts gym or anything like that. I just assume it is a group of people going through like the toughest shit together. And that has to create like the craziest bond.
I think it does. Because it's such a, you know, like, I mean, it makes you feel like real family. Like Josh Henry is, you would not be able to convince me otherwise. That dude's my brother, you know, like, and the way he cares about you, it's genuinely a brotherhood. And it's from those shitty times of being in the gym, doing workouts together, sitting in the sauna when once, you know, knocking on the doorstep of death and just wanting to give in. It's like, no, you got 2 more pounds. We're going to make this, you know, I got this with you, or, you know, or I'm knocking on the doorstep of death and, you know, he's bringing breakfast pizza into my car as we're going to weigh in. You know, just these stories. Fuck Josh, and a lot of people don't know this. Josh went to Kansas with me for a fight two days before his last kid was born. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, how do you talk your pregnant wife into letting you go to Kansas when she's 2 days away from labor? But also, you know, honorable that you would do it, but it does, it brings this bond. And I think it's because you guys are working so hard together and you're trying to figure it out together. It's like putting a puzzle together, yep. You know, and you bond over trying to figure out the pieces of how to make your puzzle work.
Yeah, dude, this has been incredible. Every time fucking you and Jordan Bovey both, man. Every time the two of you guys are on, like it's awesome. So
we barely say anything, we just let you guys just go.
Well, I've never had an issue talking, which is crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
I fucking love it, man.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you guys having me. It's
always good luck April 20th. And then of course, like that opening weekend, just let us know. We'll be down there.
Yeah, well, I think so. Your guys is live events the 15th?
The 22nd.
22nd. Yeah. So, yeah.
It'll be just a few weeks after you open.
Which is going to be awesome. Greenfield's going to have something to do.
Yeah, finally. Dude. Yeah, it's going to be a big summer for Greenfield. So.
Yeah, I agree. On the come up.
Yeah. Can't wait, man. Thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys. And
thank you.